Hi, and welcome to episode one of That Yoga Woman's podcast, a podcast where yogis, yoga teachers, and studio owners share stories of their lives on and off the mat. I'm Jules Buchanan, a yoga teacher and your host. This week, I'm talking to Amy Garcia Marshall. Amy's a really good friend of mine and a fellow yoga teacher. She's based in Pinner, North London. She's been teaching really strong classes, Vinyasa and Rocket, for about 7 years and became a studio owner back in 2018. Prior to that, she was on the cover of Om Yoga magazine, and also collaborates with clothing brand Yo Gangsta. She has a unique personality, I mean, as does everyone, but she really does. And her look is so unique as well. She's covered in tattoos, half of her head is shaved, the other half she's got long bright orange hair, and she owns such an array of these bright cat suits, you wouldn't believe it. She really brings the best out of me when she teaches, and she always pushes students to just try and see where they can go if they have a go and just try. So Amy, welcome. Thank you for joining That Yoga Woman's podcast. You're my first guest, and you might also be the last, but we'll just see how it goes.
Oh, don't say it'd be last. It's the first of many, mate. First of many. Well, thank you for having me as the first person.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I'm glad you agreed to join me.
Of course I would.
Good. So can you take us back to before you started teaching yoga, your corporate career? What were you doing? And can you talk to us a little bit about what you did before yoga?
Yeah, so I was working as an account manager in live production. And basically, I was getting burnt out. So I was working for a small creative agency, and that had its good things, but also not so good things. So it was one of them, you were involved with the full critical path, but it also meant that you had no help. So it was literally like, it was just full on. And I worked for, I managed big clients. So I had Google as one of my clients. I had Marks and Spencers as one of my clients.
So what sort of thing were you arranging for them? Like advertising or?
No, it was events. Live production is events.
Oh, okay.
So basically it was, I managed all the YouTube events. So for all YouTubers, it was around 2008. I think I started there. I worked there for 4 years, and so I finished in 2008, I think I started working for them. And it was just, mate, it was great. It was a lovely little company. The owner of the business, I got on really well with him. It was great. It was good. But I did big events. So for example, Google, I'd do the YouTube ones, and that would be, you'd get the brief, and then it'd be the execution, set design. I managed the whole process. So I didn't do the design. I didn't do the build. I oversaw everything and was also doing all the finance and all the back of house stuff as well. But I did things like, I did a lot of bar mitzvahs. They were fun. And I did a lot. I did massive parties as well, and they were fun. And I had an event that would run for a whole year, which would be for the railway children, a charity event, massive charity event, like 1,250 people at the Grosvenor House Hotel in London.
Right.
So that one would be like, that was really creative. I loved it. So it'd be like getting the brief from them, and then we'd come up with three ideas, and it literally, we could come up with anything in terms of a theme. And then from that, once the theme was done, then it'd be me presenting the creative, selling it in, then costing it all up. But it was from everything. So I would organize getting the entertainment, again, finding a company, working with them. I'd get all of this set design done. So Till's my boss, he did all the set design. And then I'd have to get the build done. So I'd work with a production manager who did all that. And then there was another events company. In live production, we were the design side, if that makes sense. So we weren't like getting people to come or that bit. That was another event management company. So then they'd deal with that side. God, what was the guy on? It'll come back to me in a minute. But anyway, we had him.
What, did you book a star? Is that what you're trying to say? You booked an actual celeb.
I booked a lot of celebs, but mainly for bar mitzvahs. Michael McIntyre and Tinchy Strider.
They're like proper A-list. Well, you know, yeah. They're up there, aren't they?
Mate, the budgets I worked with, my biggest budget I worked with was for a bar mitzvah, and it was £250,000.
I'm in shock.
So that's what I used to do. But it was full on. And basically, I had a mini meltdown. So I was
I think I was around 31, and I basically had a stint of back-to-back events where I was, I'm there client facing, definitely going back, then I was doing something else. And I basically, I always remember it was actually the Grove in Watford was my last event. So I'd done, I think I'd had a Google event, a Marks & Spencer's event, a 40th birthday in Essex, which was amazing. That was really good. But I literally was like surviving on 4 hours sleep and a lot of Red Bull. And then the last event was a Jewish wedding at the Grove. And my boss had told me to go there. And I basically was like, Tills, you're doing all the lighting. I was like, please, can you just do it? I just don't think I can do it. And I'd never said that. I always carried on.
Yeah.
And I was just drained. I was like, anyway, cut long story short-ish. I got there. We set it all up and we were inside. And then he got there and the clients were saying to me, we want to take it outside. The weather looks like it's going to be all right. And I was like, no.
You don't get to decide that. That's not a last minute decision. Move it all outside.
And he got there and he was like, well, yeah, we could do that. And just undermined me. And I literally like got so annoyed because we had to then move it. And literally the wedding was like going to start. And it was like this whole set that had been designed for their wedding. It was just ridiculous. And we had to move it. So it had taken us hours to set up, but it meant that moving it, stuff could break, stuff could go wrong. It actually worked out all right because I was like, unless they get some people to help us, I was like, I am not doing it. I refuse. Anyway, we did it. And then I just like started to get really upset, whereas that's not me. I was a very strong person. And I ended up phoning my mum and she said that my brother was round having Sunday roast. I don't eat meat. I'm never invited for a Sunday roast. But I just started crying.
Oh, what? Because you weren't invited? Because you weren't allowed? You weren't there? Is that the way you wanted to be? Why did you cry?
No, I was just exhausted. I just wanted I just wanted to be around my mum and dad. They live around the corner. And so I'd phone them because they were in Abbots Langley. Anyway, and I went there and my dad literally gave me a glass of wine. So I was crying. I didn't even know why I was crying. I was just crying
into the glass of wine. That's so sad.
Yeah. It's a sad story, mate.
Oh.
And then I just fell asleep. I literally was on there. I sat on their sofa and fell asleep. I was just absolutely exhausted. I loved it, though. I loved the people I worked with. It was nothing against them. It was just we had no help. We were such a small team. But we had major players. So we did amazing, like so, so good. But yeah, I was just literally at a stage where I was going to make myself ill. It was not good.
No. So what led you to yoga? And when was that, around the same time? Or had you been doing yoga before? Or
I actually, my first ever introduction to yoga was back in 2004. And at the time, he was my boyfriend. So AD, now my husband. I moved up to Leeds to be with him. Very nice. I worked for this creative agency. I was only 23, 24. And I had this idea of working for this creative agency. We'd go out all the time. It'd be fun. It'd be exciting. It wasn't that at all. It was the complete opposite. I was into running, so I decided, and I had on my bucket list, I wanted to do the London Marathon. So I trained really hard to get to run the marathon. I got in straight away. It was wicked. So I'd got up to the end of my training. I was doing 20 miles, and my back went.
Oh.
I went and saw a physio and got told that I've actually got one leg shorter than the other. Not much. It's not like I've got a weird limb.
No, not, I wouldn't have noticed that. I've never noticed that.
That's why my hair's like this. They're try and like weigh me out, even me up. But yeah, this physio, it was, he basically told me that I didn't stretch enough, which I knew. I did fake runner's stretch.
Yeah, runners don't stretch enough in general, do they?
And then I also had a really weak core, which I was mortified about. But anyway, so I decided, right, I've got to do yoga and I've got to do Pilates. So I tried both. I found both really slow, not challenging, not fun, full of old people. Didn't like it.
Was this up in Leeds?
Yeah. And Leeds is really far behind London as well. So you've got to remember that.
Mm.
So it was just literally like yeah, it wasn't good. And then when we moved back in 2006 to London, and I again was working for a different creative agency. So this one was retail furniture. And AD was working as a restaurant manager, so we didn't see one another. And so I again joined another gym in Crouch End, and it was in there I just started, you know what Virgin Active's like, so many classes. I was like, oh, I'm going to try these, I'm going to try that. And that's what I did. So I did Zumba, I did body pump, I did spin. I was fortunate there was a swimming pool there, so I did swimming, I was running. I was active. But then I tried, they had this Ashtanga class, which I actually didn't really know what it was.
Yeah. You just went along. I'll try that. Give it a go.
I was just trying the classes.
Yeah.
And I started doing Ashtanga there, but it was just like any other person who goes to the gym. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Sometimes I did it, sometimes I didn't.
Yeah, because there's a lot of that, isn't that? People dip in and do whatever class is on that suits the time that they're available. They don't necessarily pick the class for what they want it to be
Totally. But I loved the teacher though. He was an older guy and he was really authentic and genuine. Mm. So I actually really did like it. And I'd never really, I tried it obviously up in Leeds, but it was quite restorative, even though it wasn't. They called it Hatha yoga. And then, like, I didn't even know what that was. I just thought it was slow yoga. It was so boring, mate. No music either. And this one, he didn't have music, but I really liked it. There was, I don't know, I can't tell you.
Because it's just the connection with the teacher sometimes, isn't it?
Totally. I think that's definitely it. Definitely makes a difference.
So did that mean that you tried to focus a bit more on yoga and ditched some of the Zumbas and the body pump and stuff like that?
I loved Zumba. Zumba was amazing. Like, I was up front.
So how did you start to focus more on the yoga then? What drove you to that?
Well, with the yoga, it was basically... I was...
We're saying like the yoga, with the yoga. Sorry, just yoga.
It was basically I was doing both. I was running, I was cycling, I was spinning, and I did yoga as well. It was kind of like one of those. It was just a balance of everything.
Mm. So working at the agency, very active in London now, and then so what made you think, oh, I'm going to do my teaching?
I wasn't happy in my work, right? And so that was the main thing. I knew I had to change my career.
So did you think, oh, it's not the job, it's not this job, it's the actual career I've got to change? Is that what you thought?
No, I was doing really well. I was high up. So I was an account director and I was only in my early 30s. And I can't lie, I was on decent money. So it was like, but I just really wasn't happy. I was miserable. And I kind of saw myself being miserable, and because I was always working, I'd miss so many occasions where it'd be like everyone'd be like, oh, we're going out Friday for drinks, and I'd be like, yeah, I'm coming, and then it'd be 8 o'clock, I'm still in the office, yeah, I'm coming, it'd be 9 o'clock, I'm still in the office, and then like, AD, where are you? And it was like I had to finish stuff because I was always working to deadlines. So it wasn't like where most people are like, oh, shut your computer, walk away. I couldn't ever do that. I always had a deadline. It felt like I had to get stuff done, or I was bringing my work home over weekends. And then, but I'm by my own admission, I am a bit of a workaholic as well. Mm. I'm a perfectionist. I want things right. So I do spend more time on things where other people might have skimmed it a little bit more.
Yeah.
So yeah, I knew I needed to change something, but I actually looked into Zumba first.
Teaching Zumba? So we might not have even been having this conversation right now. That's so weird.
I looked into it, right? And with Zumba, it was like these short courses that you did. And I didn't like the sound of them. So I looked into them, but it was like, they were pretty rubbish. You went off for a day, you did your training, and then you're like, get some DVDs and you're a Zumba instructor.
Mm.
It's like, that wasn't what I wanted. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I danced from the age of, I danced from a kid. So I danced from the age of 4 up until I finished uni, actually.
Okay.
And so up until the age of 21. Just again, you know, I absolutely loved it, but I loved the creativity. And like in Zumba, I thought there would be that, but it wasn't. It was very standard. And if I
I was going to Virgin Active. I wanted to be a Zumba instructor at Virgin Active because that was my idea. And it just wasn't what I thought.
Yeah, you can't like make up the routines. It's all kind of fixed and standard. Yeah,
which I didn't realise. I mean, it might not be like that now, but it was, what, this is 2012? Mm. No, it must have been 2011.
Mm.
But yeah, but it was, I don't know. But with the yoga, with yoga, it was like, there was something about that I really liked. And it's like I wanted to explore more.
Mm.
And I don't think there was a real conscious thing where I was doing yoga and I was like, oh, I feel so different. I was just trying new things. But I didn't think I was very good at yoga. So like when I started off, it was new to me. Do you know what I mean? I tried it first of all in 2004 and I did go to a few classes. I just didn't like them. It wasn't until I came to London, obviously, then I started practicing, but then I started in 2006, but it wasn't like I carried that on. I stopped, might've had months off, 6 months, if could be more. And then I start again, cause I was training for something and I had the physio in my head, don't injure yourself.
Yeah.
So I started looking into yoga a little bit more and someone said, why don't you do Pilates? And I was like, nah. I was just like,
you're such a yoga snob.
Yoga got me a little bit better than Pilates because they were like, didn't you start that first? And I did, actually. I did yoga and I did Pilates on the ball. Do you remember the big balls, big Swiss balls?
Yeah, I've got one gathering dust in the garage. Yeah. Like a big bouncy ball. Yeah.
Like the space hoppers back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah, without the handles. You should put handles on them and then you could multi-purpose them.
Yeah, and because I was doing that, in Leeds. I actually loved that class. There was a young girl that did it, and that was good. I did like Pilates on the ball, but they didn't really do it in London, if I'm honest. When I came down here, I didn't ever find a class. I didn't do it. I don't know if that was just in my gym or what. But yeah, so I started to look into yoga and exploring the courses. But mate, seriously, back in 2011, 2012, there weren't the courses.
Really? Even in London?
Even in London, there were hardly any. There was British Wheel of Yoga. No,
yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
British Wheel of Yoga. Is that right?
Yeah.
So is that one. There was Purple Valley. I looked into Purple Valley. I used to like Kino McGregor. I followed her a lot. Used to. And then basically I can't remember if it was when I went to the Om Yoga show or I found out just through Google, but I found Yoga London. And me coming from a project management park, I like things to be precise. So they had
structures.
Clear curriculum. The branding was really nice. They said that I could go along for an intro day.
Mm.
And which I liked as well, because before it was just meeting people at the Om Yoga show, but not actually trying it out, seeing what it was going to be like and that.
Yeah.
So anyway, I went to an open day. It was at the Tibetan Buddhist Center in Bermondsey.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. I loved the whole vibe. I loved the fact of where it was going, what I was going to learn. And to learn again, it was like a bit scary, but I really wanted to. I wanted to immerse myself in it.
Yeah.
So I ended up speaking to my boss, saying that I was going to do it. And then I pretty much decided anyway I was going to do it.
So when you spoke to your boss, because I had a similar experience, so when you spoke to your boss, did you say, oh, I'm just doing this, I'm just going to have a little play about with it? It's not a new career or anything, but...
When I basically, I said to my boss, I was like, oh, I'm looking into doing a course. And he was like, okay, cool. And I was like, look, it means I'm going to need to leave like an hour early on a Friday. And he was like, yeah, that's fine.
Sounds really suspicious, doesn't it? An hour early on a Friday. I may also be just going to the pub. It's okay.
And I wasn't anymore around of a Saturday and a Sunday. Now, I worked in live production and the course was at the beginning of the year. So it was, I think it was the end of January to the beginning of April, if I remember rightly. And we never had any weekend events during the first quarter, really, of the year. So I knew I was all right. So he'd gone and agreed to it. I paid for my course. It was just a sideline thing. Also, yoga wasn't as big then when I did this. When I started, it really wasn't. Anyway, so yeah, so I paid for the course. And then we were out. I can't remember if it was he took us out. I think it was a wedding present. Him and his wife took us out for dinner, and we were in Nobu, and we were talking. Michelle was talking about like what I was doing with my course and how exciting. Da da da. And Teals was like, "You're doing what?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm doing my yoga course." And he was like, "Well, I don't remember saying yes to that." And I was like, "Yeah, but it's only leaving an hour on a Friday."
Yeah.
And he was like, "Well, we'll talk about it next week, Aime." But he's like, "You can't do that." And basically, when I went back to work the following week, he called me into a meeting, spoke to me about it, said he didn't know where I got it from, why I even thought I could ever leave early on a Friday, and that I wasn't allowed to do the course.
Oh.
So I quit my job.
Wow. So you must have known inside then that it was like a big deal doing this training to have quit your job over it.
I knew that I had to get out of my job, and I was like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. I'm really determined. So once I set my mind on something that I'm going to switch, I will switch. So yeah, so I was basically forced in. I hadn't planned on quitting my job, and then he didn't want me to quit.
He just thought it was a fad, and you'd be like, "Oh, well, obviously I'm not going to quit my job. So the yoga is, I'm knocking that on the head." And then you were like, "No, it's the other way around. Sorry."
100%. And then he literally gutted. And a friend of mine that I'd worked with, he'd just basically, who I worked really closely with, who was a friend who actually helped me get the job in the first place, he'd just literally left the company, I think it was around 3 months before. And so for me to leave, we were both his top people. So it was hard. But again, it meant that when I left, my friend who I used to work with, he said, "Look, I'll give you freelance work." So I kind of had a safety blanket. So it was, but yeah, it was being forced into a situation, which meant that when I started my course, I really went for it.
Yeah.
But it was literally chucking all my eggs into one basket,
mm-hmm.
which was kind of scary.
Yeah.
So when I set out on the path to do my teacher training, I was like, "I'm going to make this my career. I'm going to open my own yoga studio." And I remember that when I went for the first day of our training, everyone sat there in the circle. "What brings you here?" Everyone's like, "To deepen my understanding of yoga." And I sat there and was like, "I'm going to open my own yoga studio."
That's good though, that you had that like determination from day one.
It's scary though, because when I started the course, like I said, I didn't really feel I was that good at yoga. I then really started to try and go to more classes before I actually did the course. But I couldn't I remember being there and there was like some gymnasts there and they were kicking up into handstand and flipping over into a wheel and then going back again. I couldn't even do a headstand.
No. Well,
I literally felt so intimidated. I had to literally keep picking myself up and being like, "Oh, they're a gymnast."
Yeah. So you did your teacher training. Once you qualified, where did you start teaching? Like, where were you working? How many sort of classes were you doing a week at that point?
God, so when I first, there was an overlap for sure. So I qualified in April 2013. I didn't have a full-time job.
Were you still doing the freelance stuff at this point? Yeah,
so I was freelancing, but I found it really hard. So I was like, right, I'm gonna make this work. I've got to try and make this work. We'd moved back to Watford, actually. So I'd moved from, I was living in Muswell Hill. We lived there for, I think it was around 4 years. And then just before we got married, we moved back to Watford. So in 2011, I actually moved back to Watford, which was meant to be temporary. But around here, there was no yoga.
You say it like nothing. It was a desolate landscape of nothingness.
Humbleweed. Actually, I'm lying. There was Feel Hot Yoga. It was over in St Albans. When I qualified, I did actually speak to the owner of Feel Hot Yoga, and basically, they just did hot yoga.
So yeah, kind of you like said, it's just like, it's all in the name, Amy. It's not a mystery. It's all in the name.
But they called it other things, but it was just like, it wasn't pure Bikram. It was like Hatha yoga, no vinyasas, nothing creative. And when I did my teacher training, I got like, all of a sudden I found vinyasa, rocket, loved rocket. Vinyasa and rocket for me were like, oh my God, these are amazing. I just loved them.
You can tell you still love them now. Your face is like basically lit up.
Honestly. It wasn't until I did my teacher training I found out about these. I hadn't heard about them. I didn't realize that what really vinyasa was until I did my training. I just knew Ashtanga.
Yeah.
And so when I did my training, that's when I found my teacher, Stuart Gilchrist. So I went and did a workshop with him. I found Rocket. So I was going to Rocket all the time. I absolutely loved it. And then I basically, when I did my teach, like I just qualified, I really wanted to teach vinyasa. And I'd been going to feel hot yoga because I was like, try and get in there, you know,
yeah,
as it is. And then so I phoned up the owner and then I was like, you know, hi, it's Amy. And I was like, you know, I'd really love this opportunity to teach for you. And she was like, well, what do you teach? And I was like, vinyasa. And she was like, well, you can't vinyasa in the heat. And I was like, oh, I'm doing it in London because I did heated rocket and vinyasa in London. And I was like, you can. The temperature just has to be down. It's not like hot like it would be in a Bikram style class or one of your hot Hatha classes. They called them different names, but in essence, that's what they were. Mm. And yeah, she was like, well, we're a Hatha-based studio. She was like, look, I'd love you to teach me, Amy, but you're going to have to change your style. And I wasn't, even though I really wanted to, it was the only studio around and I really wanted to teach in the studio, I actually declined it because I was like, no, I've just found this like love and passion for the creative sequencing of vinyasa and really moving people around the mat. And I think that comes from my dance background. And then I was told straight away that I couldn't do that. I was like, I believe as a teacher, you need to be authentic. And that's what I realized when I was finding other teachers, the ones I liked were the ones that were authentic to themselves, not the ones that were told they've got to teach this way and do this and, or it's just regimented. I didn't like that. So I declined it, which
bold. Yoga teacher looking for a job, only one studio nearby. No, offered a job, but it's not quite what you want. Step in the door. No. Still no, I'm being strong.
And then I was like, oh God, I've got to make this work. And so anyway, I decided to go around the gyms. All the gyms told me their PTs did the stretch sessions. And I was like, no, it's yoga. And they're like, yeah, our PTs do that. And I was just like, oh, so it was a battle. It was a massive battle. I ended up getting hiring us the studio of a women's only gym in Watford. Got really excited. So I hired that space twice a week of an evening because they wouldn't let me have a weekend. So then I had my friend do all my designs and everything, did leaflets. Mate, we went around the streets of Watford, AD and I, literally handing out so many leaflets.
Yeah.
AD's got tattoos. He looks like he could be a yoga teacher. The women were loving him.
But they thought he was a teacher.
Yeah, we're calm. And then he's like, oh, it's my wife.
Oh, double blow, like double whammies. You mean you're not the teacher and you're married? Oh, I'd love to see their faces. I bet they're a bit like crestfallen when you said that.
It was a joke, honestly. And then I remember the first class I did, so my mates came. And so then I obviously didn't charge them and I was like, oh, thanks for coming, you know. And then slowly my mates stopped coming and I was still leafleting, we were still promoting. I'd get one person. The gym wouldn't let me advertise. Well, they said, oh, you can put a poster up. But I even heard them say, oh, it's yoga. Oh, it's like, you know, they'd literally like, no one came. I was just, I'd turn up every week and I'd be like planning my classes. And I used to really plan them. I plan my music and I'd stick there and be like, oh, no one's come. Okay. Here's my money.
There's nothing worse.
It was really, really hard. I at the same time, I managed to, someone found me and asked me for teach them of a weekend at a studio in Hendon. So that was nice. And I was doing that. I did that for a while. So, but that was actually a pole,
she did pole dancing there. But yeah, it was, I then was like, I've got to do something else. My freelance work was drying up. I needed to get more money. So I ended up, there was a new gym, Fitness for Less, opened up in Watford.
Right.
So I went there. I was like, I've not tried you. Let's try you. So I went there. Anyway, managed to persuade them to hire the gym, the studio space, but it was massive. You could 28, 30 people, I reckon.
Wow. Okay.
So yeah, so I got that space. Same thing. I was in the gym, but I was hiring the space. So people had to pay me. It was a budget gym. It was like £15 a month. And then I was charging them like nothing. It was like Fiverr class.
Yeah, because otherwise people wouldn't pay extra, would they? I can't imagine people would want to pay extra anyway if they think all the classes are in. Yeah.
Yeah, my numbers were so low, mate. It was so hard. Anyway, I managed to persuade the manager. I was going away on honeymoon for a month. And I was like, look, I really believe people want to do yoga around here. They just don't know. I was like, please, can we just try and do a free class? And if it works, then put it on your schedule. And if it doesn't, I'll just walk away. I went away, came back. I had an amazing honeymoon, month away as well.
Where did you go?
We did Asia. So we went to Bali, Cambodia. We went to Thailand. So Thailand, Cambodia, went to some islands, and then we did a motorbike tour as well in Vietnam.
Cool. A month away is a lot, isn't it?
It was so, so good. Came back, mate, though. First class, I didn't really want to go. I was like, oh, God, I'm going to need to reconsider what I'm doing. Anyway, I went there. The woman, the manager, literally was like, Amy, she's like, I'm so sorry. I was like thinking she's not put the class on the schedule. I was like, okay. Anyway, there was a queue all the way around the studio.
No.
She didn't let them in because she didn't know what I was going to do because there wasn't enough mats. There wasn't enough space.
So how many people were talking?
I had over 30 people.
Blimey.
And I literally cram them all in.
I bet you did.
Mate, they loved it. But at the same time, I also then, I think it was around 2000 and, must have been around 2014, 2015, that I found Kathy's studio, Hot Zen Yoga and Bushy.
But yeah, that's Kathy Rann, yeah.
Yeah, so Kathy Rann. And then I can't remember the full, how it worked, but basically, I was teaching, I was working full time, I was falling back into being really unhappy again. So I ended up working at the company I was at for, it was around a year and a half, but they asked me to be client director and I declined the job. And then they asked me what was more important, my yoga or the job.
Another bold move by an employer who thinks yoga's going to just get ditched. They should have spoken to your old boss. He'd have told them, don't pull that one. She's not for turning.
I was a little bit better on this one. I was more diplomatic. So I was like, I think that's a very unfair question to ask. And surely it's all about having a balance, a work-life balance.
Oh, so that's a good answer.
I refused to answer the question. Anyway, they got someone else in to take the role, which...
Obviously... So that's it. They took your refusal to answer the question as a yoga is more important.
And then, yeah, I got pushed out the job basically by the person who took over. She basically bullied me. So I ended up teaching 18 classes a week.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot, isn't it?
It's too much, if I'm honest. But that's how I made it work. I had to. I was like, I've got no money. I'm not doing freelance again. I've got to teach as much as I can.
Yeah. So you'd sort of turned your back on the creative agency stuff at this point. You were like, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Walked away completely, 100%. And literally was like, Kathy gave me an amazing opportunity and gave me a lot of classes and gave me a lot of confidence to now be in a yoga studio. And, you know, I told her my story and what I wanted. And she was just like, you know, yeah, she helped me out. I helped her out with behind the scenes stuff. So helping her do her newsletters and marketing, and we'd sit and come up with ideas. So I all of a sudden now had this real taster of what it was like to actually run a studio.
Yeah.
I managed all the teachers for her as well. So I started to really sort of get a feel for owning my own studio. And I was really honest with Kathy from the start. I said, this is what I want. I want to own my own studio.
Yeah. So when you taught in front of like bigger audiences, so obviously at the gyms and stuff, it's quite limited, but then you've been in front of audiences at Soul Circus and at the Om Yoga Show, like big, almost crowds, you could say. So did you have any fear when you went onto the stage? And if you did, how did you overcome your fear?
Oh my God, 100%. I can talk. I literally had the fear when, so the Om Yoga Show was the biggest audience I taught. And I remember AD was being there, and basically it was, he counted and he was like, Amy, there's 70 odd people. And I was like, I literally feel like that lump in my throat, like, uh-oh. And I kind of had the fear that I'd forget everything, wouldn't be able to speak, dry up. But when I used to dance, I used to get the same fear that, like, when I was doing an exam or we were doing shows, I'd have exactly the same anxiety.
So that's interesting. So you just felt the same. So you knew, having lived through that experience before, it would be all good.
Yeah. And so it was kind of like one of those, I remember that I got on the stage and I had the Madonna mic. And that was actually the most fearful thing I had, the audience. Because I mumble and I say things to myself, and all of a sudden I had an audience and I was like, don't mumble, don't say things under your breath, and just teach. And so when I first came on stage, I talked so quickly. I was literally like, hi, my name is Amy. Like, it was just like gobbledygook. And I saw Kathy like, slow down. So I took a breath. And then I just got in my groove. I loved it. I thrive off of teaching loads of people.
Mm.
I absolutely love it. It's like a buzz that I get. And so it's kind of like I've learned, yeah, what's the fear? Okay, it was nothing really. It was talking quickly. That's my biggest fear.
Mm.
Everything else, once I start teaching, I'm teaching people what I love. And I love teaching people. And I love teaching all abilities and being able to modify and, you know, getting people into the groove. And yeah, it's once I start teaching, I'm absolutely fine. The fear is just, yeah, to not mumble.
So how did it go from teaching? What, I don't know what came first. Was it, did you teach at the Om Yoga Show in London and then get on the cover? Or were you on the cover and then as a result of being on the cover, you taught? Like, how did that come about?
So when I was teaching at Cathy's, we collaborated with Om Shanti, which is a yoga leggings company.
Okay.
And I helped from my events background, Kathy started started selling the leggings, the Om Shanti, first of all. So because of my events background, I was the one that actually dealt with the Om Yoga Show and got the help to get the booth and helped her with all of that stuff.
Yeah.
She was like getting all the stuff through and she's like, what does this mean? And I was like,
I can do it. I'm in events. I can do it. Yeah.
So I started helping her out. So then through doing that, that's how then we got the opportunity to teach. She was like, do you want to teach at the Om Yoga Show? If you get a booth, you get the opportunity to teach.
Okay.
So, so that's what happened. That's how I started teaching at the Om Yoga Show. And we got, me and Kathy being the people that we are, got chatting obviously with them and got on really well with the guys at the Om Yoga Show.
Yeah.
People who actually organize it, that is. Over the years, I did all the yoga shows with Kathy. So I'd be helping her sell the leggings. She also in that time started up making her own leggings and doing tops and everything. So yeah, we kind of then worked together doing that as well as me helping her out at the studio. When we were at the Om Yoga Show, they did a thing, Face of Om Yoga.
Right.
And I'd seen it before and I was a bit like, you know, the years before when I'd been there. And I was always like, oh, we should do that and get some nice pictures because it had a white backdrop and I haven't ever had professional pictures done before.
So you were like, oh, I can get these pictures.
Yeah. So I can't remember how many years we'd done, if it was two, I think it was the second year. I really can't remember, if I'm honest, how many years I'd done. But yeah, this year in particular, when I won the Face of Om Yoga Show, was because I wanted to get some nice professional pictures. So I planned what I was going to do. And I'd bought a new bodysuit, obviously. So I'd planned it. So we'd literally gone there. And then I had AD behind like the guy, so he was taking the pictures.
Yeah,
because you can't actually get the pictures, can you?
Okay, so you just got your husband to stand behind the photographer at the photo shoot and take him with his iPhone. Well, you know, I mean, if it works, you get good pictures.
I'd never ever planned it was, but this year the Phase of On was sponsored by Yo Gangster.
Yeah, so that's how you joined up with them.
So I'd literally just done it to get some pictures for myself, and then I got an email to say I'd been shortlisted by Yo Gangster and on Yoga Magazine for the Face of On, and then it went through to a vote. So then there was a competition.
Yeah.
And then I had to get people to vote for me. And so then it gets through social media, isn't it? Yeah, so then I literally got on it and literally tried to then get everyone to vote for me.
I remember that. I was definitely voting for you. I'm bombarded with requests.
Loads. And that's basically, yeah, I won it, got on the Face of On, had an interview with On Yoga Magazine, which was lovely. And at that time, that was when I was just looking to get my studio. So it was weird how it all fell into place. And the whole shoot that I did with wearing all the Yo Gangster stuff and saying, oh, you know, I'm looking to get my own studio. It's just going through. I hadn't even signed my lease at that time. It was all bad time. But yeah, it was, yeah, that's kind of how it all fell into place. It wasn't planned.
It's just, it wasn't like you had one of those boards, a manifestation board, and then it all just happened.
Yeah, I want to be on the Face of On Yoga Magazine, and I want to be a Yo Gangster ambassador. No,
and then I'm going to set up a studio, but that's how it's happened. So just tell us a bit more about your studio. So the all the styling for it, like really geometric, it just looks really cool. Like, where did you come up with that? And is it kind of linked to the artwork that's on your body in any way?
Everyone says that because I've got an arm full of triangles, but no, it wasn't.
It must be in some way. If everyone says that, it must be like in a subconscious somewhere. It must be. You must like triangles.
I really like triangles. So when I, a good friend of mine, Leanne, she did all my branding for me. I came up with the name and then I gave her a brief, a creative brief. But even when she got that, obviously I'd worked in the creative industry, I'd written a lot of creative briefs in my time.
Mm.
This one was a very visual creative brief. I basically knew what I wanted. I just couldn't execute it myself and needed an actual designer to do it.
Did you micromanage her, Amy? Did you micromanage her?
No.
You do. You missed off of it. So that was like a no, like a tiny little no. Means yes.
I gave a very clear directive on what I wanted at the start.
Okay. All right. No, that's fair enough. And when it came back and it wasn't exactly how you planned, you told her to go away and do it again.
Correct.
And what challenges have you faced setting up the studio?
Money.
That's the biggest challenge. Did things cost more than you expected them to then? In that way.
Yeah, I mean, I was quite good because I did a really... So basically, when I decided to do this, I had no savings. So I had to get a startup business loan. But weirdly enough, you can't get a startup business loan. And this sounds crazy what I'm about to say, unless you've had the business in the background running for 3 years.
That sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? Because it's not a startup then, is it?
So I didn't know this. So when I went for a startup business loan, I couldn't do it. But anyway, I found out. So I went on, I think it was literally startup business loan or funding or whatever it's called. I can't remember the website. Anyway, I went on their website, but then they direct you to another one. So it's like a subsidiary. I basically spoke to them. They were like, right, you can apply. And it is a pure startup business loan. And it's basically private investors.
So you basically, like a crowdfunding.
Not crowdfunding as such. So it would be a business basically investing in you, but you don't know who it is. You're not involved in it. And it's by the Startup Business Loans Company, I think it was called. Anyway, you didn't know all that. You don't know that until you get it. So I basically had to write a business plan. So I was flying to India. Again, it sounds like I'm very jet set, but we were going to India. And so I decided on the plane that it was like 8 hours. So I literally took my laptop and I printed out everything I needed beforehand, all my marketing stuff and everything I knew. And I basically wrote my business plan flying out to India.
That strikes me as quite a crazy thing to do. Like if I have a long haul flight, I would be like, yes, films, let's get it on. And I just know, not let's get it on, you know, just watching the films, nothing weird with my husband. But no, like, let's get it on. Like, let's watch these films. I just sit down and I just get in the zone and just find, discover films. I wouldn't even think about doing something useful like writing a business plan.
No, I wrote my business plan.
Were you in business class or were you in just economy?
We're at the back.
Cattle class for the rest of us.
Oh, yeah. No leg room. My husband moaning. It was literally, it was a long old flight, but it was one that I was like, no, I'm going to do it, because I needed the money. Like, you can't just open a studio with no money.
No.
And it's like, from speaking to Kathy and learning from her, and I had an idea from speaking to her how much it would cost to open a studio. I can't say I went in blind.
No.
And I needed to get that money. I needed to, you know, write this business plan and apply. And so, yeah, and that's what happened. So I then finished my business plan. And then when I got back to England, I had a meeting set up by the company. And yeah, cut a long story short, I got all the money I asked for.
Perfect. So after all that, you got a result in the end.
Yeah, I got the money. And then that was when it was like, right, wicked, got my money, let's go. I've found a place already. And so it was very much like I was doing it all a bit backwards.
So how have you been getting on?
It's been good. It's like, it's been hard work. I mean, God, opening up a studio, it's all me. I'm doing everything. So the help I've had was, yeah, with the creative side. But I then built my own website. I did all my leaflets. I do all my social media. I found all my teachers. I do all the payroll. I do all the behind the scenes stuff. It's hard.
It's full on.
I work 7 days a week. But as I said before, my old streak of being a workaholic has come in handy, because I'm not afraid to do it all. And, you know, I'm also the cleaner.
Different when you work for yourself, is it?
It is, yeah, because it's my baby and I want it to work. And if it doesn't work, I've got no one to blame other than myself.
Oh, and you've got really, like, your standards are quite exacting, aren't they? From what you said before, I know they are, but from what you said before as well about, you know, this creative, poor creative lady that you recruited, and then you told her exactly what to do. But she's just thinking you could just do this yourself.
It's a good trait or a bad trait? I have been that person, I probably still am, that I'd rather do something myself and get it done right, how I want it, than give it to someone else. And as a business owner, that's quite hard, because again, at the beginning I nearly burnt myself out. I lost my voice again, which is a trait of mine when I run myself down. And
for a yoga teacher, having no voice.
No. I've got nodules now on my throat from teaching.
Really? Singers get those, don't they?
They're called singer's nodules, and I've got them. I can't sing though. So yeah, but I've got them, so I'm now really prone to losing my voice. And that was again through opening up my studio and teaching too much. I had it as well when I was teaching 18 classes a week. I lost my voice. So I go to speak and nothing comes out. It's not laryngitis, it's the nodules,
right?
So it's quite frustrating, but again, I've learned to manage that now, and again, it's not overdoing it. But yeah, it's been hard work all in all, and learning as you go on how to schedule, what to put on your schedule. And again, when I opened up my studio, I'd been teaching in the area for 3 years. I had a really good following. All my classes were full. I had waiting lists for everywhere I taught. And then when I opened my studio, I wasn't prepared for literally no one coming. Some classes didn't attract anyone, and I found
that. Did you take that personally, because it was your baby, or it is your baby? I suppose it's hard not to take it personally, isn't it?
Yes, I had to keep having a word with myself, because what I didn't really account for is that people already had studios they were going to, or gym memberships. I was opening a new place, and whilst everyone was right 100% behind me, they already were going somewhere. And the yoga studio, Kathy's studio, shut down. So I kind of just thought everyone would come across, and they didn't. And so, yeah, so it was really hard at first. But then I got in my groove again, pounded the streets, handed out leaflets, did literally word of mouth is the strongest form of advertising, which I know. And as soon as I started getting people coming, then people followed. Mm. But it was a very slow process. I also ended up, I was a hot yoga studio and I opened up in July when it was really hot.
Yeah, so it's people don't need it then, do they? They think they don't need it.
No, so again, it was like that was a massive challenge that I hadn't foreseen, but I had to open up because everything had been delayed. So yeah, it's like there was a load of challenge, even as much as getting my lease. I didn't get my lease when I was meant to get it. And yeah.
It was just having to persevere and keep going.
Yeah, just keep really strong. I was really lucky. AD was 100% behind me. But then like fast forward a year and a half and it's gone so quickly. My studio has been thriving. I've got an amazing community. I've done loads for various charities. I've raised over £2,000 for charities.
That's brilliant.
In less than a year and a half.
That's fantastic.
And I'm really proud of that. And I've built a really nice community where people have come to the studio and now made friends. And I've taught people from the beginning where they've, again, not really, they've done yoga at the gyms. The style of yoga I teach, I suppose, is a little bit unique. I do push people. I know I do. Mm. But I believe in people. And I think that because I teach the way I've learned, and I always think, you know, fear stops us from doing stuff. And I can't always stops us from doing stuff. But if we really push the I can in people, give it a go. Yeah, you know me. You might face plant. I'm honest.
You do say, like, what's the worst that can happen? Nothing. I'm just shouting at the screen at the moment saying we're in lockdown. So I'm shouting at the screen saying, no, the worst that can happen is an actual face plant. I could lose a tooth or smash my glasses.
But if you look forward, you'll be all right, right?
Yeah. Okay. So that charity work, I mean, that's amazing. Is that what you're most proud of, would you say?
It's one thing, yes. It's like with all the running that I did over the years, I've always raised money for charities. And when I opened my studio, I said I wanted to give back to the community, but the local community. So all the charities I've found have been local to the Harrow area. And again, helping people raise their profile. And I've approached charities and just to see their faces when I literally go there with the cash in hand, because I get everyone to give them cash. It's been amazing.
I get one of those big checks?
I really want to. The last one I did was for a charity, small charity called Kids Can Achieve. It's in around the corner. It's less than a mile away from my studio. And no one had even heard of it. But I felt like, have you seen Secret Millionaire?
Yes.
When they go and work there.
Yeah.
No, I felt like that when I went there and gave it was literally so rewarding. And I love the support that I have from everyone that comes to my studio and the charities that I find, and everyone's right behind me. They're like, oh my God, I didn't even know of this charity. I lived in the area for X amount of years. And they honestly, it's worked so well. It's been amazing, the support. But yeah, it's going good. It is going good.
Well, I also know that from personal experience that you're amazing at putting up a tent. So that's something else you can put on your CV. It's something else you can be proud of. I mean, it's not as proud as raising loads of money for charity, but I think it's pretty good that you can just put a tent up like that. When I was just standing in the rain, looking like I didn't know what I was doing.
Can you put up a tent yet?
No. Well, I helped you. I just sort of stood about trying to be helpful, but I didn't know what I was doing. But that's a good skill you've got. I'll have to brush up. I don't think I'll be doing that. So where do you get all your energy and drive and enthusiasm from? Are you, because you said you push students, is your diet plant-based or are you veggie? Like, does that have the fuel that you put in your body? Does that have make an impact on how passionate you are about what you're doing? Do you think it does?
Honestly, when I went vegan this year, but I also went, end of last year, it was November, but last year in, so 2019, I did veganary. And when I did that for a month of January, I was really drained, but I didn't really think about it. I didn't add any vitamins to my diet. Didn't really think about what I ate. I really missed cheese. I was pescatarian at the time. So I found that hard and I was drained. When I became vegan in November last year, we then, my husband, AD, he also did it. We had a plant-based diet. So really healthy, fresh foods. It was wicked. So yeah, it didn't really affect me this time. And I felt really, really good. Don't get me wrong, in lockdown, I've started eating cheese again, but that's the only thing I've gone back to. That's the only dairy. But again, it's not too much. But I mean, does diet affect my energy levels? Well, it did last January, but I'd never noticed it before. I just love what I do. Like, I love teaching. And I love learning new things, and I love going to learning things from my teachers. I just did, Amber Vallow is one of my teachers, and I just did her advanced teacher training back in beginning of March. And I felt I learned so much. And when I came back, I was just literally bursting with ideas. Oh. And then we went into lockdown.
Because talking about teachers, the teachers that you bring into your studio, you're quite strict with them, aren't you? Would you say, well, how... I think from what you've said to me in the past, you're quite strict about how you recruit them and what standards they need to kind of uphold for your studio. Tell me a little bit about that.
When I first opened, the teachers I approached were the ones that I knew, and I didn't have anyone else approach me. I then had a few people when they found out new teachers, and it was all new teachers, not people that had been teaching a while, they approached me. And I was that annoying person that said, that's cool, you come teach me and I'll see how you teach because I just don't know how you teach. Or let me come to one of your classes so I can see how you teach, because I personally don't like really auditions because people don't teach like that. Like, it's not a true reflection on how they teach. So where I couldn't go to someone's class, I did do that. And then where I could go to someone's class, I also did that. The people that approached me, I didn't actually ever employ any of them. I mean, one teacher in particular, she'd been teaching years. And when she approached me, I was like, oh my God, amazing. And when she taught, it was just not what I wanted.
It's your baby, isn't it? So you need to be comfortable with who you, it's like your product, you're producing the service for the clients. And if it's not how you want it to be, then it's not going to work.
The main thing is an authentic voice. And the idea behind Yoga Collective was this collaboration of different yoga teachers. I didn't want everyone the same. I didn't want everyone like me because that would just be ridiculous. I wanted everyone to be different and it to be an eclectic mix.
Yeah.
So I did struggle in recruiting teachers. So then I basically taught most of classes myself. I had a few core teachers, and some of them have been with me from the start, who are great. But then I just had to wait and let it be organic, that I sat and waited for the teachers to find me. And they did.
So if you weren't a yoga teacher, what would you be?
I'd be sitting on a beach, not worrying about my career path. Probably a hippie. No, I wouldn't. I don't know. I was thinking about this. God, what would I be? I think I'd probably have ended up being a dancer, if I'm honest. That's what I wanted to do when I was a kid, but my mum wouldn't let me. She said I had to like carry on school and do everything. So it kind of like, I would have had to start early because I was really late. I'd be like already too old to be a dancer. I'd be retired by 30.
Yeah, so you would be a hippie. You'd be like an ex-dancer hippie. You can say that.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
So what's next for you? So you're doing a retreat next year, aren't you?
Yeah, so my retreat got cancelled this year due to the old C word.
I hear you.
C-19, that is.
Yes. Thanks again for the clarification.
Just in case.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so my retreat got cancelled. So I've got the retreat. It's going to be next year. It's in Ibiza. Yeah, I'm very excited about that. Ibiza is a special place for me. It's where I met my husband. It's where I got married. It was the first place I ever went on holiday. It was where I wanted to move and live, but obviously that's not happened. So I'm really excited to hold a retreat there. I've got a lot of friends there, so it'd be really nice. So that's coming up next year. Hopefully teaching at more festivals. I teach at Soul Circus, as you know. Mm-hmm. Again, that one's been postponed this year, let's say. So again, hopefully I'll be teaching there next year. I've got another collaboration. I've just been approached by Pineapple Clothing to basically be an ambassador for them. So I've got that coming up as well. So the clothes should arrive soon, but again, everything's delayed. So I don't know when I get them. But yeah, so I've got a new ambassador thing with them. But yeah, there's always new and exciting stuff coming up. I want to do more workshops. And ultimately, I'm now at a stage in my teaching career where I'm going to be able to start doing teacher training. So I want to start basically helping teachers. That's my aim. So next year I want to start doing courses, short little courses, weekend courses, to help people, help teachers. So whether that be with sequencing, business side. But yeah, that's definitely something where I want to now head.
That sounds great.
Yeah, so but just doing short little courses. I'm not looking to do like 200
teacher training full on. Yeah,
I wanted to help teachers because I feel that once you are a teacher, you're kind of like, hey, there we go, see you later. There's not a lot of short courses and also courses that are reasonably priced because they're all really long. They're all 5 days, 7 days. I just want to do little like 20-hour weekend courses so you can get CPDs and really just help teachers.
That sounds like a really good idea. So that brings us now to the quick fire questions. I hope you're ready.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, no pressure. Okay. So first one, biscuit or chocolate bar?
Biscuit.
They need to be quicker. It's got to be like gut quicker. We just don't just go for it, okay?
Basically, I stopped eating chocolate because I'm vegan. So I went to say chocolate and then I was like, I can't say chocolate.
There's vegan chocolate.
And then I was like... And then as I said biscuit, I was like, oh, God, what biscuits do I eat?
Just say vegan chocolate then. You're thinking way too much into it. It's just like, bam, 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 quick fire question. Just say what comes into your head.
People will be like, she's vegan. She can't eat chocolate. Just go again. Ask me again.
I wasn't trying to do a quick. All right. I'm not cutting it out, though, but you can have the question again. All right. Ready for the quick fire question, Amy? Biscuit or chocolate bar?
Vegan chocolate bar.
Favourite colour?
Gold.
Who is your hero?
Superwoman.
What is the best fruit or vegetable?
Tomatoes.
A song or a dance?
Dance.
What's your star sign?
Scorpio.
Who would play you in a film of your life?
Someone really cool.
Any names?
I'm rubbish with names.
just someone cool. Okay. Beachside or poolside?
Beachside.
Do you eat eggs? And if so, how do you like them?
Don't eat eggs, but when I did, I used to poach them.
Yeah. Is there any product you couldn't live without?
Foundation.
Oh, what is at the top of your bucket list?
The top of my bucket list right now is changing all the time, and I know it should be quick, but basically it's to have my own holiday apartment in Spain.
Oh, nice. What's the most ridiculous outfit you've ever worn? That was such a brilliant, like, I don't even know what it was. It was like a giggle come, luckily.
There are loads, mate.
One of the most ridiculous outfits. Just give us a quick description.
Okay, I worked in Ibiza and I dressed up as... I worked for Judgment Sundays and I dressed up as a gimp.
Okay. What's your favourite place in the whole wide world?
My favourite place in the whole wide world... Do you know what? It's just on a beach anywhere. I really don't care. And I think right now, being in like lockdown, it's just literally just to be on a beach somewhere. I don't really care. And not in England, though. I do care about that.
Like a warm beach.
A hot beach anywhere in the world. Happy days.
Okay. And what's the last show that you binge watched?
Oh, my God. Is that long ago? I don't even know. I haven't been to a show in years.
No, like TV show.
TV show?
Yeah, like a binge watched. You've binge watched a TV show.
Oh, then Next in Fashion.
And what's your favourite yoga pose? You have to ask that.
My favourite yoga pose?
Yeah.
Probably Wild Thing.
So then we have a little section called Savasana Sounds. So what do you have a favorite music or sound when you're in Savasana? Or is there any just advice or a track that you can recommend that people should have a listen to?
There's one on Spotify that I don't listen to your traditional Shavasana music, or I don't play it in any of my classes. And there's one, it's by Oliver, I can't pronounce his surname, Klavonsky or something like that. Amazing. Just, it's almost like a bit trancey, I suppose, but I love it. I love listening to it myself and I love playing it to other people.
Yeah, we'll find out the details and then I'll put it on the episode show.
Yeah, yeah, notes. No, definitely. But he literally absolutely love, favourite one.
All right. That's great. So that brings us to the end. Thanks, Amy, for talking to me. You can, so everyone can contact you, Amy, on social media at yogacollective_UK. That's your Instagram if they want to get in touch with you. And please tell Amy what you think about the podcast. And also if you've got any questions you want to ask her or anything you want to know about the studio. And her website is www.yogacollective.uk. There's no co. It's just www.yogacollective.uk.
That's right.
Thanks, Amy.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me and letting me be your first guest.
You're welcome. You've been listening to That Yoga Woman's podcast with me, Jules Buchanan. If you liked the show, please tell your friends about it, write a review and subscribe to That Yoga Woman's podcast. Links and information can be found on the episode page in the podcast section of my website, www.thatyogawoman.com/podcast. If you'd like to show some support for the podcast, then you can do that through PayPal. The donation link is www.paypal.me/thatyogawoman. The last thing I'll mention is my line of organic cotton yoga-inspired tops. I've designed a small range of vests, tees and sweatshirts that are perfect to teach or do yoga in or just lounge about in. They're available to buy online, so check out www.thatyogawoman.com/shop to take a look around my store.